What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Love the Grind podcast. This is Will Walk, and I'm here with the full cast today, man. J-Rock, Antonio Hurt, Zeebo, and our guest tonight, Tank Hemphill. What's up, fellas?
What's good?
The money man, Tank.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we got Rock and Tank that's both overseas right now in Spain and Luxembourg, respectively. Y'all know that. Coach Hurt out there in Arizona, and me and Zeebo holding it down in the 219. Let's get straight into it, man. Tank Hemphill is the man of the hour, playing his first year overseas in Luxembourg, man. It's been a long, tough road to get you there. Couple slow years, some COVID years, some injuries, but you made it. You made it to the promised land and trying to do your thing, man. But we're going to take it all the way back to the beginning. And since we did this with Cornbread, we're gonna ask you where you got the nickname Tank from right off the bat, man.
Oh man, my mama gave me that when I was little. When I was a baby, I was like big, solid as an infant. And then she just called me Tank. She had to haul me on her hip around everywhere she go. She just started calling me Tank from there.
When did you start playing basketball, Tank? Like when? What age did you start?
Age six, that's when I got introduced into I was playing basketball in Biddy at Pulaski and Gary. That's why I started playing with Jeronde, Troy, Dana, Jericho. Most of those girls that went to West Side in like 2013 and 2016. So age six when I started. I was terrible though. I was terrible when I first couldn't dribble, work the leg.
I mean, you were six, so
I know. I was just out there having fun.
That's normal, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was just out there having fun.
So what age did you realize like you can hoop a little bit?
You know, I was just out there playing, and I just grew to love it. I mean, I would probably say the next year. Age seven, I just got better and better. And years gone, I just got better and better. Then I just fell in love with the game after that.
For sure. I remember the first time I seen you hoop. I mean, you had probably just moved to Michigan City or whatever. I just thought you was like Mimi Cousins or somebody. He was like, we was at the NAC and y'all came.
Yep.
And running open gym up at the NAC. You know what I'm saying? Some of them good old NAC runs. And
mm-hmm.
It was like, yeah, this is my little cousin right here. And I think you just went up and blocked somebody crazy on the back. I'm like, dang, he low-key athletic. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Cause yeah.
You was kind of tall, but you wasn't that tall yet.
Yeah. And that's probably like my freshman year.
Yeah, so I ain't really expected, but I seen you go up and like pin somebody stuff on the glass. So I'm like, all right, I gotta be alert with him. Like he ain't finna catch me slipping with the sneaky bounce.
Oh yeah, yeah, them neck runs was good.
So
yeah, so you grew up in the G. You talked about playing Biddy ball and playing with a whole bunch of other good players that came out, including Dana, Gino, and stuff like that. So came to Michigan City your freshman year. And, you know, City Tank was born. They had high flyer that everybody loved, man. Talk about your time at City.
Oh, it was fun. I wish I could have enjoyed it more. But overall, it was fun. Junior year, got that shoulder injury. That was a big bummer. I was averaging like 20 that year. And then senior year, got the
seven-game win streak right before
Central. Yeah. It was going crazy. Senior year, I got that another shoulder injury. It was just like I had them injuries that set me back, but I always bounced back from them. But them years with playing on the board, it really, you know, you instilled that discipline and belief system in me that carried me on to what I'm doing right now. And I'm forever grateful for Boyd and being under him and playing under him.
So what was that transition like for you coming from Griffith to City? You know what I'm saying? You with your homies all the time, and then you come to a new city with new people.
It was nice. I like coming to city. I came to city because Griffith, they wasn't trying to play me in varsity. I was like, yeah, I had to go. They was not trying to play me in varsity. They had a squad, though, so I can't blame them. They put the twins up. I was like, oh, man, they had me playing JV at the court. So I'm like, oh, no.
You was talking about the injuries. I know that's something that you and Jared both went through at like a pivotal time during your high school careers. And I mean, of course, as a young athlete, it's hard to understand the process that you got to go through to get back to the court. But going through that process at a young age kind of sets you up to be able to fight and strive for what you want later in life. You know what I mean? It's a good early life lesson to have to go through, especially when you end up on the stage like you are now, where you know, you understand the importance of being fully healthy and on the floor instead of just playing the game.
Yeah. Right now, I take, like, every day I'm stretching like 2 or 3 times a day, just taking care of my body because I'm a pro now. So it's like your body is your money maker. So you got to be on point. I'm not trying to get no little tweaks and injuries here. I'm taking care of my body every single day.
Yeah.
I
feel like Tank, he always been like, you know what I'm saying, a level-headed guy who, you know what I'm saying, and like me, I try to reach back, you know what I'm saying, like talk to a lot of the guys who I see, you know, got like a, you know what I'm saying, got that level-headed. You can see who got that doctor. You can see, you know, guys, yeah, I'm about to say, I hear a little echo, but yeah, you can see the guys who got that light, you know what I'm saying? So like, I hit Tank up over the years, man. He didn't, you know what I'm saying? I've seen he had several injuries and just kind of help him, like not help him, but like tell him like, yo, bro, like don't even let this bother you. And you could tell he was really like locked in, like, yo, I'm finna bounce back from this. I'm finna get to it. He even came out to the one time we did the yoga, man. It's like some cats wouldn't even come out and even do the yoga. You feel me? Like that's when like you can see. He is like, yeah, man, I got to go do my rehab. Then I'll come and make it to the yoga. So I'm like, yeah, he really locked in. You know what I'm saying? He taking care of the right aspects that you – it's more than just hooping. Like, you got them rehab appointments, show up to them rehab appointments. You got to, like, when you got players on your team and like, they get hurt, bro, and people think you just, like, sitting out, being hurt is the worst, bro. Like, your practice is way longer. I swear. Rehab, then you got to go watch the whole practice, then you got to do like so much extra stuff. But like, if you really want to make it, bro, you got to lock in and focus on everything and get yourself back on that court.
Man, to any kids watching this podcast, you just heard two professionals say or talk about how important it is to take care of your body, how important it is to stretch, you know what I mean? Yeah, if you start getting that early on, you will last so much longer. Them injuries will be less and farther between, you know what I mean? Take care of your body.
Yeah, you got to be proactive instead of reactive. Right.
Facts, that's what I always say, yup.
Right, I was just moving front of you yesterday and I ain't stretching, I'm sore, so it ain't got to be. Well, you said you had the two shoulder injuries in high school, so how was your mindset like when it came to your recruiting, and how was your recruiting process along with your mindset like with the injury your senior year too?
With the injury my senior year, I knew I was going to come back. After the first year when I did my junior year, that was when I was, like, mostly scared because that was, like, my first big injury. And I was like, I knew I was going to bounce back because I had, you know, great support system around me as far as my mom and my brothers. But that second year, I knew I was going to bounce back fast. And I didn't really have – I had, like, you know, little D2s, NAIAs, D1s, but I had to, you know, pass the SATs and stuff. That was my biggest barrier right there, the SATs. So I was really looking towards going to Don Bosco. I was about to go there until the twins presented me with an opportunity to go to Florida and play JUCO for 2 years. I ain't know much about JUCO. You know that stigma around JUCO that is bad and stuff. But I talked to the coach, seen the facility. I was like, yeah, that's where we're going for the next 2 years, man. It was nice, and that was like probably the best decision I made coming out of high school.
Right.
Now that school was like they first year being built, wasn't it? Like they was
first,
running the school, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was first year. So when I first got there, we didn't have a gym, we didn't have nothing. We didn't have we was practicing at the high schools around. It was a high school right next to our campus. So every morning we had two workouts. We had a workout at 6 a.m. The whole team jumping to the fence just to get to practice. And then it was another one. We went like down the street. We practiced there until we got our gym in November. So our first 7 games was all the way until we had a home and opener in November 28th. So it was crazy. It was a crazy ride.
Now they using that school for all the big high school tournaments and stuff now.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So, transition? What was that transition like from 219 to Florida?
Yeah, Florida, nice.
Oh, it was different. I mean, I've been to Florida, but I never lived there, you know what I'm saying? So it was different just seeing that environment and getting in touch with the people. We did a lot of community service. As far as the basketball go, it was competitive because we had, you know, JUCOs, you know, freshmen and sophomores. And most of them, you know, when you're coming into a program, you got a lot of sophomores. But that wasn't the case for us. We had everybody was a freshman coming out of high school. And everybody was the leading scorer on their team, averaging, you know, above like 15, close to 20. And then we had like two sophomores. One was a big man. He barely played. And then our point guard, Nick Smith, that came from Fordham. So it was a battle. Every practice, you battling to get that starting spot. Like, you couldn't take no days off. But I was used to that. I mean, we always worked that city. So it wasn't nothing new. I was happy to be in that environment that pushed me and test me every single day. And, yeah.
It looked like y'all was dumb athletic. I think I remember seeing y'all was like at a park or something like that. I think y'all had like just got there. Everybody, it was like a whole dunk contest.
That was the first day.
You know what I'm saying? First day. I was like, oh yeah, they about to be lit down there.
That was the first day. It was our whole team dunking. I was like, yeah. We built chemistry from day one. So I knew that was going to be a special group and a special spot to stay at.
So you did, Joe, you did 2 years there, right?
Yep.
So I know you end up going to Green Bay after that, but did you have anybody else besides Green Bay coming out of there?
Yeah. I had a couple, a bunch of mid-majors. My biggest one was Wichita State. But my top ones was just like Youngstown State. Who else? It was Green Bay, Youngstown State, Towson. Indiana State, I visit there. It was just a bunch of mid-majors, really.
So what made you choose Green Bay?
It was because Marty knew Coach Darner, the head coach there. So I went there. I liked the vibe, and I seen myself where I can, you know, spend my last 2 years and thrive there. The environment was great. Coaching staff was great. And I just seen it as an opportunity to, you know, take that next step. And I just felt like it was home when I went there.
So, you know, everybody know at Green Bay, you had the infamous Sports Center, top five. Was it top five, top 10?
Top 10. Right? I think it landed at 6, right outside five, right outside.
Now, you know, I know you've been doing this since your sophomore year, but how I feel to, like, be put on ESPN, bro?
Oh, that's a dream come true, man. That's a dream come true. Because when you're watching, you know, college basketball as a youngin, everybody watching the Sports Center top 10, seeing all them dunks. And for me to finally have a dunk on Sports Center top 10, that somebody, you know, you're watching the highlights late at night, 11 to 12, I swear, and I'm on there. It was a one to remember, man. It was a nice one.
Right, I know everybody was coming up to campus trying to holler at you then.
No.
Yo, Tate, I seen you on TV, Tate.
Did I say something to him? Nah. Yeah. Nah, he was whooping. It was Kenny Woofton. He's I think he's in the G League right now. That's was whooping my stuff all game. So I'm like, if I'm going to do so, I got to duck. He was beating my stuff. I'm telling you, he had like 3 or 4 blocks in the first half. So I was like, if I'm going to get over him, I got to dunk.
I hear that. That's what's up.
So speaking of the athleticism, when do you feel like you actually became like, you know, like you knew that you was gonna be an athletic type of dude, like basketball wise? Cause I know like you didn't come right in the game, just jumping out the gym. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. All them boy workouts, man. Probably my freshman sophomore year. All them plyo, what you doing? Lifting, running. Yeah.
So I say like my
Walmart runs. Oh my goodness! I say like the sophomore year. My first dunk. I forgot who was.
You're an athlete, Tang. You could do all them.
You said what up?
I said you could do all them plyos, but everybody ain't gonna be able to jump like that because they do plyos.
Man, I can't. That's the only thing I get. That's the only thing. Yeah, it could be, but you know, I did put that work in though. I'll just say, but my first dunk was like sophomore year, but I missed it. I forget who was playing. It was at home. I missed it, But after that, man, I started slamming.
I know we kind of jumped in we kind of jumped into college right away, but let's go back for 1 second because a lot of people don't know how important it is to do two sports. And you was a two sport athlete. You also went to state in track and won. So talk about how track and basketball, you know what I'm saying, went hand in hand together and how it helped you.
See, I was an athlete already, so I wasn't doing the running events when I was going over there. Coach Eubank was a coach, so he kind of and Coach Boyd wanted us to do two sports and stuff. So, but Coach Eubank was the coach over there, and I first started with long jump, but I kept on stepping over the bar or whatever, the little line. So yeah, that's not it. So I went over to high jump, and I just found my groove with it, and then each year I just got better and better. And it helped that I was already athletic, so it just flowed over. Then I got some competition with Daniel that went to Marquette. He had stupid bounce, like it's just crazy. I don't know how he jumped like that, but yeah, we just went at it like my whole senior year with him. We was going back and forth. We was the only ones last in every track meet. Even at state, we was the last two jumping at 7 foot. He made it, I didn't. But it was a great experience. Just to, you know, can't too many people say they made it to state and then placed second at state. We only had like seven guys, and we finished second.
Right.
So I mean, everybody put in. Micaiah put in work. Seven put in work. Me, Jacob, and Daniel. So everybody put points on the board when we went to state.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's great, man.
You ever thought about doing that in college? A little side thing.
Right after the track meet, Illinois State came up to me. I was like, "Nah, this ain't my sport. I'm a hooper." I said, he gave me his card still, but I was like, "Yeah, I'm a hooper. I just do this for fun."
Man, anybody around me know I'm a huge advocate for players playing more than one sport. Besides one player who played soccer this year.
So, all right, so you at Green Bay, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how you end up. I'm pretty sure I can take a good guess, but I'm going to let you know what I'm saying. How you ended up at Drake?
The region team. That's what you call it. Six dudes from the region on that team.
So that my second year at Wisconsin, nobody know that my first year at Wisconsin, I was battling with like a knee injury. I had every game throughout the whole season. I had like tendonitis in my knee. So to warm up, it would take me longer to get this thing warmed up and be able to function. I was battling with that the whole year. So after my first year at Green Bay, I decided to get the little surgery. It was a minor surgery, and I wasn't ready. I tried to play our first game at Purdue. I wasn't feeling right. So I just chose to sit out that year. And then at the end of that year, they ended up letting our coach go. I took that as an opportunity to hop in the transfer portal. So it was my name went in there. Our head coach that was at FSW was the assistant coach at Drake. He was the first person to call me. So you know how that went. He called me, then Twins called me, DJ called me, wrote. It was just, yeah. I knew I was going. I still tested the waters, talked to a couple teams, but everybody knew where I was going. To
Drake. You said before when he asked about, you know, how you ended up down in Florida, and you was like, you know, the Twins had hit you with an opportunity, you know, to come down there. Like, that is not that often that, you know what I'm saying, like your boys could just like really, you know, get you into like a situation. Right. And then like, how do it feel to be in like such a rare situation where y'all went from playing as kids together and then y'all went down to Florida to play together. Then y'all ended up playing and Drake together, and I'm pretty sure all of y'all in Luxembourg right now, right? Or
Tone was out here. He back home now, but Mel still here.
Okay, yeah. So like that's just like crazy, like that camaraderie y'all got of just being able to like enjoy this game that y'all love together. You know what I'm saying? How did that feel?
It feels great. I mean, just thinking back to when we played together in middle school, I just felt like everywhere we play, we win. We won championships there. We went 26-7 our first year at FSW, and then 30-3 our second year at FSW. And then I got 20 wins at Green Bay, 21. But I just wanted more, and I just knew if I team him up with, you know, with Mel, along with DJ, Roman, and Jonah, who all know my style of play, it was going to be greatness. I mean, I just wanted to win. I just wanted to make it to the tournament. That was my biggest thing, just to get to that tournament before I was done.
I think that's one of the biggest keys to really, you know what I'm saying, y'all's success. Like, me personally, if I'm playing in, like, different pro-ams and stuff in the summer, and it's like, I just noticed, like, when I'm playing, like, sometimes, like, with different people that don't really know my game, and it's like, you know, especially me as a skilled player, sometimes you get with guys just like, hey, man, you talk, yo, go post up on the block. I'm going to throw it to you on the block. And it's like, bro, y'all don't even know my game.
Right.
Like, the fact that y'all know each other in and out, bro, like, y'all chemistry had to have been, like, just through the roof. Like, I know Tank going to go back door and catch this live, bro. I know he going to be here at this. It's like you almost can close your eyes and know where the your teammate is at.
Yeah, and that's what made us great my first year. It's like, I've been talking to him all – when I was at Green Bay, I was talking to him the whole 2 years. So, even when I'm talking to them, you know, they goofy. They putting the phone, giving the phone to somebody. A dude I don't even know. It ended up being one of my closest friends now, because when I went to Drake, his name Garrett. It was a little skinny white boy. And we just talking. I was like, dude, why are you making me talk to him? So, when I built that relationship with him when I was at Green Bay and I went to Drake, I was like, we already family. I already know you. Even though we was talking through a phone, I know you. Right. So it's like we had that family camaraderie, you know, and that just made the season just even better, even more spectacular.
Right. Yeah, that chemistry is definitely an underrated part of the game and part of the reason why college is so crazy right now. You got your one and duns, your team full of one and duns on one hand, and then you got the other hand where you got players that have played together 3 or 4 years and got that chemistry. And you got teams making runs that shouldn't be making runs. But, you know, that's part of the reason why. That chemistry make up for the talent level sometimes.
Right.
Bro, I agree. Your
first year at Drake, it was the COVID year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, because I had watched Drake the year before because I usually follow all the region kids when they go to school. And they was decent. But I feel like when you went, you was like that one little piece that they was missing. You know what I'm saying? Like get extra rebounds, you know what I'm saying, tip out plays. And then when you came, and you bring energy too. So y'all had a good run. Talk about how, like, the feeling, like, knowing y'all was making that run, and then, the COVID happened, you know what I'm saying, when y'all was on the cusp right there, like, finna get into the tournament.
I mean, it was good. We started out that year 18-0. That was great. We was up there with Baylor and Gonzaga with the only – couple teams left that haven't lost. That was good. But we was battling COVID throughout the whole year. We even got hit with COVID in February where we had to sit out like 2 weeks. Luckily, I didn't get it. Some of my teammates got it, and we were still doing workouts. It was just a difficult time with COVID because we had to practice with masks on. And that's so terrible. I wish that on nobody. You can't even breathe in a mask. But we end up going to the tournament. We end up getting that bid for the tournament, and just that experience, even though it was COVID out there in Indianapolis, we had to be in our rooms 24/7. But the experience was like no other.
Y'all had a lot of hate too, because I ain't gonna lie, because I remember that room when y'all was undefeated for a minute, and everybody was trying to say, oh, it's because their schedule ain't tough, their schedule ain't this and that. And I'm like, but they out there hooping, bro. It's like, y'all was smacking. Yeah. Too.
I know. It's crazy because we started off, we played K-State. Well, no, we played Omaha. And then the second night, it was a tournament at K-State. We played Omaha the first night. Second night, we played K-State. And that's what, Big 12? It's cool. We just kept going. Plus, some games got canceled. You had to pick up some games. Schedule one set. We still won all the games, man. It don't matter who we played. We still won all the games.
And for those 2 years, man, Roman Penn had to be like top 10 point guards in the nation, if not top five.
Oh yeah, definitely. I miss playing with Ro, man. He just know where you at any moment. That's my boy. He's nice.
So how was the I ain't never experienced that. I know ain't none of us, you know, Will, Jared, Zach, ain't never experienced the like the NCAA tournament? Like, how was that whole experience?
Oh, it was nice. When we first got to the hotel, you got your own hotel to yourself. And they gave you a lot of gear. And then we was all in the hotel, and then all throughout, plus it was in Indiana. So for the Indiana boys, that was like even more special to have March Madness, right, to go to March Madness, and then for March Madness to be in your backyard where everybody can attend, was special. And then you just walking in the hallways with all the Coach K and all like Michigan State coach, all the top players, you just seeing them walk. And you just one of them. It just felt great. And we got to play against Evan Mobley, who was in the league right now. It was just a crazy experience.
I still think y'all should have won that game, though.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough.
All right, so you got through March Madness. Amazing opportunity, amazing experience. And then you start having these talks as soon as it's over with. I know I hit you up as soon as y'all lost that last game. I was like, bro, if you need an agent recommendation, I got one ready for you. Just hit me up. What was that? Was it an immediate transition into your coach starting to talk about, yeah, I got agents or teams starting to look at you overseas? Wait, you played another year after that, didn't you?
Yeah, we got that extra year. Every athlete got an extra year after that.
Yeah, after every COVID. Athlete got actually. I forgot about that. Yeah,
but you know they start so you hitting you up. Yeah, you know they start hitting you up early though.
Oh yeah.
So I was really focused on. We had that meeting with the coach that he asked was I coming back, and I wasn't sure yet. It took me a couple of days talked to my mom, and I ended up coming back. But at the end of that year, you already had them them conversations with agents. So it was just getting the right feel, just like when you're picking a school. You know, you got to pick somebody that, you know, believe in you and they'll put you in the right position. Then I end up finding my right spot. It led me here.
Yeah, that first year when you get that agent, it's kind of nerve-wracking, man. You hit the man up every day, like, what's going on? What's the situation? You go a month and a half, you ain't hear from the man. You sweating, talking like, he forgot about me. You know what I mean? It's hard to keep working through that sometimes. But then you got to – 11-year vet like Jared over here, like, man, let me stay as long as possible. You ain't got to tell me nothing.
Yeah, he got it made over there.
Right, but that's some patience that you'll learn down the line. You definitely going to have your time in the league, man. I mean, you know, to keep playing further.
How was your nerves and, like, just everything when you first touched down on the European soil, like, when you got on that plane, like, all right, I'm about to leave the States for a good solid 10 months. Like, when you got over there?
When I first took off, it was cool. My mom started to cry. I'm like, yeah, don't cry. She always doing that. I was like, yeah, don't cry. When I got here, it was cool because I was coming to play with Mel. Me and Mel was on the same team. So I'm like, we on the same team. I got somebody out here that, you know, that's family. So I got family out here. Then Tone ended up coming a couple weeks later. Just to have him still around, he's like 20 minutes away, Mel is. Just to have that family around, that makes the transition even more smoother. So I'm just taking it day by day right now. I already checked off 2 months. So I got like 6 months to go.
You
until I come back home.
Waiting to get back to the crib.
I swear.
You and Mel on the same team right now?
No, we were, and then he ended up getting picked up by another team with out here in Luxembourg. Okay. We was together for the first month.
So it's kind of crazy. He playing on the team that I played on before. I did a short stint with Heffingen at one point in time. Before I ended up going back to Sweden. But it's kind of crazy. Yeah, he ended up on the team that I already played on and playing with a player that I got pulled up. I know Zeebo probably remember me talking about the young kid that I pulled up. I talked his father into letting him play in the top league because he was only 15, and they said they didn't want him getting beat too bad. And I was like, he's going to be the third best person on the team. You might as well just bring him up and let him go through the fire early, you know, throw his butt in the fire.
Yeah, that's it.
And now he's teammates with Tank now.
You talking about Tim, right? The one you –
Yeah.
I did talk to – I asked Max. That's his brother. So Tim don't play with us. Max plays with us now. And then his dad is our GM. So Max is our PG right now. Max Smith. Okay.
Yeah.
So he got PG. Max too.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So you probably are noticed this. I know y'all probably got a lot of young cats on your team. Will was talking about when we was talking earlier about the guy we said went to Spain when he was like 16. So basically how it kind of works is, you know, a lot of these leagues can only have so many foreigners. So sometimes they say you got talent, they might send you to like a big league like Spain or something like that when they're like 16 years old. And if they start playing before they become an adult, they can be considered like a Spanish player, you know what I'm saying, when they get older. So like, have you noticed, like, or do y'all have any like young players that's playing with y'all team right now and you can see like, dang, they playing with like a professional team at like 15, 16 years old, and compare that to when you was like 15, 16 years old in high school? Do you think you was ready to like play at the pro level already at that age?
So now we do not have no youngins like that. Our youngest is like 19, but I have seen teams that have, you know, like that have young guys like that. But do I think I was ready at 15, 16? I possibly can get out there and do something. I don't know if I was ready physically. I think I would have been better off. You know, the foreign players, they start young, getting playing against the big guys though, in regulation. I think I would have been better off
maturity wise as well. Like, these kids, like a lot of the time, they're not in their home city. Like, their parents trust them and they send them off. Like, I know a bud had his own apartment at 15. You know what I'm saying? And they say, I don't know about Bud, man. He wasn't big.
I think that's what Rock was trying to get at, man. Like, me personally, even at 15, I don't think, like, they hold a school schedule. They probably got two basketball practices they got to go to, plus some individual workouts. And they still be begging to get in the gym even more than that and keeping their grades up, being 2,000 miles away from home or whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's just crazy that 15-year-olds go over there with that structure to be away from their families and still keep all their stuff in order.
Right. Sure.
Got to be able to eat right, make sure they, you know, cooking. All of that stuff, bro. Like, it's a different world, for real.
Definitely.
Right.
Speaking of different world, how is it coming, growing up in Gary, you know what I'm saying, living in the G, and then now you are in a whole nother country?
I mean, it's different just coming from anywhere, from the States, and coming to live over here. The way of life is different from the streets to the people and their languages. Thank God that some people speak English out here. Most of the people speak English out here.
Right.
The streets out here is like narrow. They're so narrow.
I was about to say it.
And it's so small. Culture. It's like a back road, and it just be semis on here. So you really on the side of the road trying not to hit them. They just driving. People just drive. They used to the road. So they just hitting the curves. And I'm driving slow, not trying to get in no wreck. So it's a whole lot of different things that's different out here.
You got an automatic
drive. It looks
automatic. Yup.
I had to teach myself how to drive stick on YouTube while I'm driving. Calling all over the place, honking. I'm go around, man. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm glad they didn't give me a stick. I'm glad mine's automatic.
They threw me the keys. I'm like, what's with this? I don't know. That's all we got.
The way Luxembourg set up is crazy, though, because it's like a little bitty highway that lead to a town, and then them roads get real small when you hit that town, and you literally got to drive through the town, and then you hit another highway, go to the next city, bro.
It's you just hitting each town, it's like little villages, just going through there, right. And then you back on the it's not even E-way, it's like two roads with farm and cows around.
421.
Yeah, then,
hey, you chill out on 421. That's how you get prayer, bro.
But that's what it is, for real. It's 421, bro. It's crazy. It's crazy.
21, boy.
You don't really get to the busy life until like you get to the, you know, Luxembourg City. That's where that's where everything at.
What kind of role you got right now on the team?
So you want the, you know, the Americans on each team, you know, you gotta be the leader. It's on the court as far as like scoring and stuff and playing defense. That's probably my major role. Defense too. So you gotta guard the other American, whether he a guard or a big. Luckily we got a 7-footer on our team, so he get to grab some of the you know, the second big.
Right.
But I'm mostly playing the wing though. That's probably what I do. Just trying to expand my game.
We already know you a dog. You already know you're a dog on defense. We didn't see you on ESPN locking up.
Yeah. trying to expand the game.
Right. Hanging out in them passing lanes everywhere, bro.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite spot.
Right.
Yeah, that's my favorite spot.
Yeah, sir. So I mean, it's been a long road in the game, bro. What's your motivation to keep you pushing forward? I heard you missing your mom a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. You know, as we've been going through it, but what's your motivation? What's your why?
My why is really my family, you know, and the work I done put in all these years just to get to where I'm at. I knew I was always gonna play pro. I had a dream of playing pro, and I put myself in the best position to do that. Each spot I went to, whether it's in high school, JUCO, D1, I just pushed myself to play on that pro level because as a youngin', that's what I dreamed for. And, you know, my mom, she did everything for me. Everybody talk about their mom, but I really, really appreciate her because, you know, she had to take me to them bitty games when I wasn't even good at basketball, you know what I'm saying? Right. So it's good to show her that it all paid off. That's my biggest thing. It all paid off from at age 6 when I couldn't dribble around the cone. Now look at me.
Right.
So I really give my thanks to her.
Speaking of family, like, you know what I'm saying, your brother, I know your brother probably, if it ain't your mom, he your number one fan. Like, I know you're a confident player.
I don't think he got OG beat, bro.
What did it do for your confidence? Like, that your brother, like, feel like you the best player in the world when you go out there every night?
Oh, that's great. I mean, it's great just to – because I was looking up to him when he was in high school playing high school ball and I wasn't there yet. You're looking up to him when he was playing at Griffith. And it's great to just have that support system, have somebody back you up and sharing all your things that you have that's on, you know, social media, calling you. And even in our little group chat, our family group chat, just praising everything that you do. And just want to see you succeed. So it's great to have, you know, a brother like that and family like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So probably since I met you, you always wore number 10. And probably until you got to, like, Drake when you had to switch your number. Is it a specific reason why you always wore 10? Like, is this a significant meaning for you? Or is it just a number you like?
It was just a number I rolled with in high school. I ain't gonna lie. It was a number I rolled with. I just kept it until I got to Drake and somebody had 10. I could have, you know, got that up off him, but I was like, nah. I was like, I'm only gonna be here for 1 year. You go ahead and keep it. He was like a sophomore or something. I was only gonna be here for 1 year. That's what I thought. So I just switched for 4. But yeah, 10 was that number. So I got 14 right now. That's 4 and 10. So
it all work out.
Right. Me just putting something together.
Let me see. All right.
Yeah, Zeebo, hit up with these rapid fire questions real quick. You know what I mean?
All right, cool. Let's see. Favorite game you've played in so far?
Favorite game had to be, even though I barely played, was that March Madness against USC. Favorite one. Biggest stage in college.
Yeah, that atmosphere was crazy, bro.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, we all kind of know, besides the Oregon dunk, do you got a favorite dunk on, posterize, you ever? You got a favorite one? I mean, you know, obviously
it could be practice, game, playground,
practice.
It could be anything.
I didn't see him with some
body bags in practice.
Man, I'm gonna just do this one. Who's he playing? South Bend Adams? Or you threw that lob on that one boy? Hey,
yeah, you jumped over him.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was that.
I remember watching that video. There's a dude in the crowd. He ran out the gym. I said, "Yeah, buddy."
Yeah. That was crazy. I don't know what you. I think that was sophomore, junior year. Yeah, that was crazy. I'll say that one.
This is Chris Jordan Paul or LeBron? Thank you, man.
Jordan or LeBron?
Huh?
We going Jordan.
Smart choice. Smart choice. Yeah.
Going MJ.
So 1 foot or 2 foot?
2 foot. You know, I had them foot surgery. I gotta go off 2 now. I gotta go off 2 now, man. Fast break, I'm going off 2.
Who was your hardest matchup?
Hardest that you had
to guard, that they had to guard you. It don't really matter. Who was like the one where you was like, all right. This is going to be a long night, like, you know what I'm saying?
Man, I had to guard Bo.
there you go.
I had to guard Bo, 7'3". Bro, man, bro, he caught it mid-post. Just turned around, shot right over. I couldn't do nothing. What am I going to do? I couldn't do nothing.
Oregon, he was nice.
If he get the ball up, it's over with.
That was my toughest one. I was trying to fight him, but there's so much you can do with a 7-footer that can move.
Right.
That dude was something.
And Banyana or whatever. Hey, now that's a 7-footer that can move.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Victor.
Victor.
Man, he's nice.
He tough.
He's too nice.
Yeah, I ain't seen nothing like it. That's a guard.
I played him 3 times.
You already played him?
I played him 3 times, but he was like, the first time he was like 16. And then I played him 2 years ago when he was at Nanterre. And he ain't really had like no big role on the team. He wasn't like they was just like playing him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like he probably played like minutes. But now that boy out there, showtime. You know, he pulling up with the shit on, you know what I'm saying? Walking on the track. You know what time it is. I'm trying to get that number one spot.
Yeah, he's killing
right now, bro.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Well, cool, man.
European farewell tour.
KD and Jordan.
KD, man, you know.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Who your favorite player then? KD.
KD.
Yes, sir. KD. Yes, sir.
Big year for us.
If KD ain't step his toe on that line, was they gonna win the ship?
Oh yeah, you know it. Yeah, they miss to do everything. He just look, you just a big toe, you know, too long. So we're gonna win.
Cool. Well, man, we're gonna wrap this up with Tank, man. You got any last words to say, bro?
I just appreciate y'all for letting me have me on here, man. I look up to all y'all, man. I'm thankful to have y'all in my life, man. Thanks for having me on here.
Appreciate you
no
coming
doubt.
Through, bro.
Show, bro. No doubt. What's all love. Hey, send me the link to y'all next game, bro. I'll be trying to check everybody's stuff out.
For sure. Oh, I got
Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Before we go, is we going to see a Tank LTG appearance next summer?
Oh, yeah, we there. I was battling the foot surgery this summer, right. but I'm in there. Send that gear too, man. I'm waiting.
I got man, around too much, man.
I know.
Tank, man, we appreciate you coming on, man, spending some time with us, sharing your story. It ain't going to be the last time we have you on. Of course, we're going to follow your career all the way through, man. You little bro for life for us. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all, man. For real.
Sir, I'm going to be in your line, Gangi.
All right, Brody.
All right. And we appreciate everybody that tuned in. And y'all know how we do. Love the game.
Love the grind.